All right, moving forward, Max. Max.
Hi, Max.
Max, this is the thing I thought you might like to know. You might want to know this. And then again, you might not care. The Batman Beyond comic book, which I know Max reads and really enjoys, is getting new artists, starting with issue number 31 and running at least through number 36. It's getting Rick Leonardi and Wade Von Grawbadger, which is a great name.
Yeah.
They're actually plowing our street.
Oh. We're in the middle of a snowstorm over here.
We are in the middle of a snowstorm. It's desolate.
That was one of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah.
Batman Beyond is great. It's really good. Because they've always tried to do things in that universe and like new original things. And that's the only one, I think, that's the first one at least that stuck and was its own thing. What is interesting about that team is Rick Leonardi, back in like 92-ish or whenever this was, I can't remember the exact year, but in the 90s, he is the co-creator of Spider-Man 2099. And he did a slew of those issues, if not all of those issues, on that run. So, Spider-Man 2099, Batman Beyond, very similar concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spider-Man 2099, all of the 2099s were odd, but the feel of it was very futuristic. It has a good tone, visually, because he's the artist. Visually, it had the right tone, and I'm interested to see what that'll be like in Batman Beyond's universe. Do you think that's, like, the ultimate pick?
Sure.
So this artist, right?
Yep.
He's just picking up from, like, in the middle
run? It's a start of a new arc, I assume, but...
Oh, okay. Because sometimes it's kind of, like...
Jarring.
It's a little jarring when all of a sudden the art's different.
Sure.
On the same story you've been reading. But,
I do hate that, but...
Like, after... And then, like, after a while you get used to it, and...
Then it changes
It's
again.
Always... Like, even if, like, the art is better, it's still jarring.
Yeah. If you have any... issues distinguishing a character from another character, like, that's not fun. Like, who the hell are you?
Right.
Yeah.
If anybody's remotely in the background, like, who the hell is that? I have no idea. Dan Jurgens is still going to be writing it, so it'll have the same writer. Chris Somney, who did a lot of the Daredevil covers, he did the run with Wade on Daredevil. He's doing the covers for this. So these issues will have different art on the covers. So just be aware of that.
I don't like that. Because
I don't know. It is a little misleading.
I don't remember what the book was like the last time I was in. Like, I hated the cover art.
And then the book was good?
Well, no, I didn't, like, thumbed through it and I was like, oh, well, the art inside's fine. But, like, if the cover art's bad, that could dissuade somebody from picking up a book.
Hmm.
Like, oh, I just don't like how that
looks.
That's
why there's, like, 7 or 8 other variants.
That is true. That and it's just a money machine, all right. These variants. It's interesting, though. It's very interesting. I think he's the perfect pick. He's worked on Batman in the past as well. Just regular Batman, not Batman Beyond. So I think it's a cool idea. I'm interested to see what his art style, what he brings to the table for this. But I knew Max would like it, so it made my news. Hi, Max.
Hi, Max.
Bye, Max.
We love you. Tell Max you love him.
And miss you.
And love.
And love.
Olivia. Love, Max.
Love you, Max.
There you go.
Soft love.
Oh.
Not hard.
He prefers soft love. Dan likes the hard love.
He likes to cuddle afterwards.
Max is a cuddler, everybody. If you see him out at like a MonsterCon or something, Max loves to cuddle. So if you just go up and nuzzle him, don't scare him. Don't, you know, freak him out.
Approach slowly.
Right.
Like you would with, like, a deer in the wild.
Right, right, right. Just go up to him. You don't need grains in your hand or anything like a deer. It's nothing that, you know, similar. No. Like, it's not the beginning of commando.
Approach slowly. Don't make, like, harsh, direct eye contact.
No. No, you don't want to. Max will
you don't
want to take you
out. You
don't
want to spook him.
Don't spook him, because he will headbutt the bejesus out of you. The Dickens, they say. All right, have we made enough of a weird scenario of Max?
I think so.
We love you, Max.
All right. He definitely questions that.
He's very confused right now. He's like, oh, man, why would they say all these odd things? Because that's what we do, Max. You know that. Check out SuperliminalFilms.com.
Woo!
Superliminal FLM on the Twitter. Fascist something amount of letters thing they used to say. I forget. I miss their podcast. I love their podcast. They have other podcasts, but I miss the poor man's process. Anyways, my last bit of news... is talking about how many comic, television, and movie properties there are. Now,
not too damn many.
Too damn many is the right answer. Ding 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 ding. Do, 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 do.
What does she win?
Max's love. So, not counting what has confirmed release dates, there are over 30 in production comic tied projects.
Holy shit!
Right now, is it too many?
Is that across all platforms?
All platforms, between television and movies, between Netflix, between theatrical releases, between
like all streaming services.
Okay. DC streaming service. So when you count streaming services, I expected it to be a little higher, but especially because they're doing animation stuff. But this is a lot. So now, do you have too many, more the merrier, couldn't care less, somewhere in between? How do you feel about it? I'm going to name some of the stuff, but before I do that, how do you guys feel about it?
Because the bubble's going to burst.
I feel like the bubble's already bursting, and it's when Endgame is ending. Like, you could jump off after Endgame if you don't care about the cinematic universe.
I don't have burnout on the movies. I am burnout on the TV shows.
Yeah.
Because there's too many TV shows. Like, we get, what, 2 or 3 movies a year?
That's tough to catch up on, you know.
It's really
like 10 seasons of, like, a, you know,
right,
30 episode season, series, whatever, mm-hmm, episode series season.
Really? I mean, I don't know. Are you guys burnt out on the movies?
No, but I will.
They're spaced out enough where it's like, okay, there's like, you know,
right,
maybe 6 movies out of the year
right that are comic book related. Months.
Right.
That's a movie every 2 months. I don't think that's too much.
No. Yeah, so I think the movies have gone on for this long and as successfully because of that. It's not all in your face as much as with all the television shows, which people like to binge watch,
right,
and they just, you know, obviously it takes a longer time to get through them.
Yeah, I but then again, I also don't feel like it's important to rush out. It's like, Endgame, yes, I work at a comic book store, I have to go see it as soon as possible, because yes, the nerdy college kids will come in and spoil all the key.
And it's not like if somebody spoiled the Venom movie for you.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Right. But aside from Endgame, I didn't feel like I had to rush out and see Ant-Man and Wasp. And I still haven't seen it. And at this point, I'm going to have to wait for Netflix or whatever. Or go rent it or go buy it or whatever. Do I really want to buy it? Probably not. What do I care?
Right.
I remember back in the day, I tried to buy all the DVDs of the movies as they came out, because it was manageable. It was like one a year or whatever. Now it's like, I don't think I need the entire cinematic universe.
Right.
It's a lot. Like, yeah, okay, it would be cool. It's kind of like having all the James Bond movies and you can just watch it. Like, it's cool, but I don't know.
And by now, it's more than that.
Right. Yeah, I think the most in a series is Godzilla, I want to say, has the most. Then it's like James Bond.
Ooh, there's another movie theater release of Godzilla coming out.
I heard. Yes, it looks cool.
It looks like it's, I guess use that word again, piggybacking off of like the really bad, you know, this monster versus that monster, mm-hmm, on the Sci-Fi Network.
Oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
So piggybacking off the Sci-Fi Network. Oof.
I mean, Godzilla versus, you know, Sharktopus or whatever.
Ah, yes.
I'd go see that.
I'll watch anything fight a Sharktopus.
With the burnout, I feel like the movies also have it better, because since there's so many of them are in different universes or not tied to anything, you don't have to go see some of them. Like, we chose to go see Venom. I wish we didn't. But, like, that's not tied into any of the other, like, franchises in any meaningful way.
Right.
So, like, for, like, if you want to just watch the Marvel movies, you're seeing 2 or 3 movies a year.
Right.
I don't think that's too much of, like, a burden to go see 3 movies a year.
Right.
If, like, you want to, if that's all you want to see.
I think I saw 2 movies last year, and neither of them were comic movies. I guess 3, because Avengers was last year. Yeah. I saw Avengers, I saw Incredibles 2, and I saw that movie where The Rock fought the building.
Skyscraper?
That's the one.
And then I feel like the Netflix shows aren't, like, the Netflix Marvel shows aren't as bad, because they're spaced out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the seasons drag on a little bit and are a little too long.
They do.
You can binge it.
Iron Fist 2 was pretty good, and they cut, 2 episodes off?
Yeah.
And it felt great. It felt so much better.
I wish they were like 10 episode seasons.
I wish they were like 8 episode seasons. But, you know, I think Punisher's going to be 13. That comes out like in a week or two.
Yeah.
That and Deadly Class come out as of this recording, and hopefully I get this put up on time. Those should be out within days.
But like for the TV shows, there's too many of them, and some of them are on like the same time.
Right.
So like you can't, I can't devote an extra 8 hours a day to keep up with all the TV shows.
Right. So I'm going to say some of the stuff that's scheduled but doesn't have a hard release date. We have Watchmen. We got DC Superhero Girls cartoon. We've got The Boys. Swamp Thing. Think Tank.
I had forgotten about The Boys.
The Boys is coming. I saw a picture of the cast, and it's supposed to be like one of the covers. It's super accurate, but like not everybody looks the way I want them to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to be able to forgive it, but like just, you know, nitpicky old school Tim is very angry about it. Why the Last Man, Snowpiercer, Invincible has a cartoon version coming out, American Flag, Harley Quinn, Stargirl, Dreadstar, Crosswind, Letter 44, Harrow County, did I say Crosswind? Quantum and Woody, Damage Control, The Rocketeer. Let me tell you how excited I am for The Rocketeer. And it sounds like initially I wouldn't be. It's going to be on Disney Junior. It will be the rocket pack gets passed down within this family and a young girl is the new Rocketeer. My daughter will watch this. She will cross her radar. She will love The Rocketeer as much as I do. And that is super exciting for me. I'm going to be buying Rocketeer toys. So pumped. If I didn't have a little girl, would I be like, oh no. No, probably not, because, you know, at this point, whatever you can do. And I believe there was a movie they were going to do that had a similar script, a similar idea. Because you can't, like, you could just retell the story of it taking place in Nazi era USA. And it's like, nah.
That's a lot of stuff.
And that's not all.
Right, right. Because you still have, like, Gotham's ending this year.
Right.
You still Flash, Arrow.
Sabrina. Sabrina will come back with a new season. The Millar stuff is starting on Netflix. Jupiter's Legacy, American Jesus, I think, is part of his thing. That already has a date. Umbrella Academy is coming to Netflix. Gerard Way's thing.
That's just,
it's a lot.
And like some of the stuff that's like coming out is like branching out. So like Think Tank isn't your normal thing. Quantum Mody is not your normal thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Letter 44 is not like...
No.
So they're not like your normal comic book, like what you like think of.
People won't know that's a comic book unless it says it in the very beginning of the title screen.
Right.
And I get that, because I know people watch things now and they don't know it's based off a comic book.
Right.
But this is just a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I like Letter 44. I like Harrow County. That's a scary Dark Horse book, I think it is. Crosswind is that Gail Simone book that I really liked, where it's Freaky Friday with the wife, the housewife, and the contract killer.
Well, I'll have to watch the Think Tank one.
Of course, you're contractually obligated. Hi, Matt Hawkins. Hashtag Hi, Matt Hawkins.
I do have like 14.
You have like 1% of the
stock. No, I don't.
Almost.
I don't have one.
Soon.
I have like 14 or 15 issue number ones of Think Tank.
You're a 1% shareholder of,
Top
Cow.
at 50 issues, I will own 1% of Think Tank.
You know, it's so funny because I literally bought you one today. I just was like, let me see if there's any Think Tanks that are of a good price, because I know it's going to go up because of the show and everything. I'm like, oh, I could buy this one. And I literally bought you one this morning. I have enough to where I don't have to buy you one for probably 3 years now, because I give Cliff one at his birthday and Christmas every year. Oh my god! Best case scenario for me, earmuffs, Matt Hawkins, is the show fails miserably, the price plummets, and I can just scoop up all these Think Tanks. You'll have your 1%. All right, Matt Hawkins, you're good. I think it's too much. I agree with what you said that not everything is a known property.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, this cool sci-fi thing.
I think that helps it.
It does.
Some.
But
yes.
It's not just that these are comic book adaptations to TV and film. It's just that the state of film and television is all of these adaptations. And I think I just recently saw a bar graph about like the percentage of films that are adaptations versus original versus...
Right. Like, nothing's original.
Right.
Remake or whatever.
And, well, it all comes down to money again. And you look at... So comics became everyone because of the movies. Geoff Johns writing for DC now, trying to fix their universe. They're like, who's Geoff Johns? And they look at Geoff Johns and they see all his success. Westworld, season one, was partially written by Ed Brubaker. So they're like, oh god, this is such a runaway hit. Who wrote it? Oh, this comic book guy. There was another one, the Castlevania animated thing. That was, it'll come to me. That other guy that's really good. Hey guy, that other guy. What was the guy's name? Warren Ellis. Got it.
Oh.
Got it.
He's a name.
He is a name. So, anyways, I don't know. Whatever.
It's just kind of sad. I just feel like, original screenplays, I guess historically, are just, you know, more memorable, more, I don't know.
I do think the one thing, though, is, like, as more and more stuff comes out, and, like, you come up with more original ideas, you're going to run out of things that can be original. To where, your original idea is just, like, a variation on something that maybe came out 50 years ago.
Right.
But it's, like, an updated version. So, like, even though it may seem original, if you look back at, oh, it's really just this movie, but with a couple details different.
But there's, I don't know. I think there's originality can go a lot longer than that, I think. Well, you just gotta look at it a little different way.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Just the...
But what if you loved Dread, but you hated Raid Redemption? What if you just, like, animately don't like kung fu movies? Like, the Raid Redemption would probably get on your nerves. All the way it's shot and all the fighting. It would probably upset you and piss you off.
But then you probably don't like action films. So then you would have never...
Maybe.
But then you would have never found your way to Dread.
But for the sake of this argument, let's say you love Carl Urban's chin, so you're in on Dread no matter what. And then you end up liking that movie that you normally wouldn't have looked at. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
But, like, we don't even really watch a lot of TV anymore. It's all, like, just YouTube stuff. Right.
Watch YouTube, Netflix, and...
And WWE.
WWE. And maybe Amazon Prime.
Yeah, when the Grand Tour's on.
Yeah.
Not much.
We cut cable.
Yeah.
And I don't really regret it.
Except just getting internet's just as much money.
Right.
Because they know. And whatever. Fuck.
Right.
Fuck them.
Because I had looked into cutting, like, the cable and having, like, the equivalent speed internet. And there was, like, a... I think it was, like, a $4 price difference.
Yeah, it's not great.
I'll spend the $4 a month to casually flick through the channels and find something I want to watch every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth $4 to me.
Sure. Well, all right. That'd be the news. It's done.
The news.
We should set this paper on fire after we finish. Actually, no. It's easier for me to throw stuff in the tags. All right.
So, Tim, have you read any comic books lately?
Why, yes, I have, Cliff.
On this comic book podcast that we tangentially know things about comic books.
Well, you know, I don't claim to be the end-all be-all of anything.
We are certainly not experts, but we still do this anyway.
Our douchebaggery is legendary. Yes, I read a book. I read Turok, number one, from Dynamite Comics.
I love the cover of that book.
The cover's pretty epic. It's just a pool of dinosaur remains, and there's a lot going on in this cover.
I have a dumb question.
Ooh, I like those.
What came first?
Chicken.
Did the comic come first, or did the video game Turok come first?
I'm glad you asked this question, because I was going to give you the history of Turok.
Oh, okay.
So, Turok is best known for the Valiant comic, which came out in, like, the early 90s, and the video game on the Nintendo 64.
Yep, I had that game.
Which was awesome, the first one, because it was a first-person shooter where you were fighting dinosaurs and people and military and all that stuff. It was the only thing that felt different from GoldenEye, because every other first-person shooter, like, I'd rather just play GoldenEye.
Right. Oh, see, I'm in the minority.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't like GoldenEye?
I liked Perfect Dark more.
Perfect Dark was good. Most people still were playing GoldenEye, though.
Yeah.
Until Halo.
GoldenEye just, like, changed. It was just more fun.
Oh, see, I liked the laptop gun in Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
Because it added, like, another element of you need to be worried about, oh, am I going to run into something that could just start shooting me?
I'm not saying Perfect Dark is terrible. I'm saying you're the minority.
Right. No, I know.
There you go, Cliff. You're finally the minority.
It's scary and I don't like it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to build a wall around you. This got weird. This is the edgy part two of the podcast. Because I probably do have to cut this in two parts. So, Turok has existed for many, many years before both the Valiant comic and the video game. Turok, Solar, and Magnus Robot Fighter were three properties Valiant had that they bought the rights to use and use in their universe that they don't have anymore. That's why they're not in the current universe of Valiant. They actually existed way back in the day in like the 50s, 60s era. They were part of Gold Key. So it was Turok, Son of Stone, and it was basically just Indian comics and then sci-fi comics on the other two. So Turok has existed for a while. That being said, he's jumped from all these companies. Dynamite has the license now. It's getting a new number one. The art on the cover is not the art on the inside. It is written by Ron Women in Refrigerators Mars. We all love him, right? And
what now?
What?
Remember Women in Refrigerators? The no. whole shoving that... We'll go into it later, people. The thing where the Green Lantern issue where they killed the girlfriend for no reason, shoved her dead body in the refrigerator. The whole Gail Simone thing.
No.
All right, we've talked about it extensively for years.
We have?
The podcast does. I'm pretty sure we've been there.
That was...
So what you're saying is you didn't listen to all the backlog.
No. I thought you would have already assumed this.
All right, well, I'm going to edit that out so it makes sense. So, Ron Mars is your writer, and he's still pretty good. There, it's basically takes place, I believe it's in Colorado, it's the end of the 1800s, it has a bunch of cavalrymen chasing the two Indians, Turok and his brother, I think his name was Andar, chasing them through a valley. It's a very basic story where they're trying to collect a bounty on the two, and it's a gunfight versus a bow and arrow fight. It's all right. I felt like the way it was drawn fine, but like I felt like Turok was just throwing himself into the middle wide open to try to shoot people with bow and arrow, and like I'm like they would have hit him by now. Like I couldn't get over the fact that I'm like he should be shot at least by this point. There's just everybody's that bad of a shot.
So there's a lot of plot armor.
Very much so. But if you can look past that, unlike me, the book's fine. What ends up happening is there's an introduction of a bounty hunter character who's mysterious and probably important in the next issue. Turok's fighting these 12 cavalrymen. He kills a bunch of them. The rest go after him once he saves his brother. All of a sudden, a dinosaur comes out and starts attacking the cavalry guys. And he ends up going through this portal, because otherwise the cavalry guys are back there. They'll fight him. And they end up in prehistoric, I assume, Colorado or someplace. And that's it. I don't recall the other Turoks explaining how he got to where he was. I think he was just an Indian kind of character that was in prehistoric times. So this explains that. It's very simple. It's like, oh, there's a glowing blue portal. Let's go through it, because if not, we're dead. And they end up there. I would imagine they'll explain that more and not just leave it as this giant plot device and we just forget about and sweep under the rug. I think the team is good. I like the art. I like the writing. I don't know that I'm on board for more. I could probably do one more and then be fine with it. But if you love Turok, it's a good new jumping on point.
All right.
Who wants to go next? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next because okay. I imagine Olivia will have a end us on a high note.
Ooh.
I read Superior Spider-Man number 1.
Ooh.
By... flip to it. I believe it's Christos Gage.
Ah, yeah, he's usually good.
I was initially intrigued. Started with Stiltman.
We do love Stiltman here on the podcast.
Everyone should love Stiltman.
Everyone should.
Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it just works.
Yeah.
My love for Stiltman did not overcome my dislike for the overall story. For those unaware, Superior Spider-Man is Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body. Effectively, and he's being Spider-Man. So he's doing good things, but at no point does he ever seem happy about it. It's more like, I just have to do this because I'm trying to be a better person. So there's just a lot of like inner dialogue that I'm not like a fan of. And I get like Peter's like witty and like makes remarks, but these are more like, I don't know, it feels like just like angry sarcasm.
Okay.
Than anything else. And there's just a lot of like him talking about how he used to be Doc Ock, and then he became Peter Parker, and is now the Superior Spider-Man. And somebody that he was married to in the past realizes that it's him, because he keeps keeping himself younger. So that's kind of where the book ends off, is, I believe, a previous girlfriend or wife.
I'm glad they went back to her.
Spot, like, goes, I know that it's you, and I get that you helped me, but I'm never going to be okay with you. I know you're a bad person, mm-hmm. and you will always be a bad person, mm-hmm. that this is just a cover. At some point, you'll show that you're bad.
Wow.
But it didn't, like, hook me.
Well, I'm looking through it as you're flipping through, and I'm like, there's no action.
Right, there's just a lot of dialogue.
And I get you want to set up the thing with her, but, like, everything.
Even in the scenes where it looks like there should be action, there's not much going on in the panels.
Yeah, that looks like there should be a brawl. And it's not. Everybody, hold up your weapons! Yeah. Woo!
There's a lot of, like... like, all the action's right in the beginning.
Right. With Stiltman.
With Stiltman. And then it turns into, like, boardroom meetings. And, like, speeches given, like, in lecture halls. And that's just not what you want from a Spider-Man book. At least that's not what I want from a Spider-Man book.
I like that person at the end.
But, yeah, I was excited to see who's the big baddie. And it looks like he's important in issue two.
So, would you read issue two for that? Is that enough of a hook where you're like, maybe issue two on will be good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, initially I did buy this comic just because I liked the cover.
Right.
It looks awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like a really dark... I imagine this is one of the variants, or is this the actual cover?
What's the actual cover?
It's like a really dark cover. It's got the Stan Lee on it, mm-hmm. and just Spider-Man looking really cool. And that's what got me into the book, and I think that's where I'm exiting the book.
Gotcha. Well,
that's my... I read a book, and...
You did read a book!
I read it.
You read a book, and you regret it.
I regret it.
It happens sometimes. Olivia, take us home with your high notes. Your siren songs.
I'm all caught up on the first three issues of Mars Attacks.
Nice.
By Kyle Starks and Chris Schweizer.
We love both of them.
Mm-hmm. We love both of them. It's everything you'd want in a Kyle Starks narrative with the Mars Attacks, you know, licensing. So it's everything you could ever want with that. The story focuses on a father who is a, like, very old, retired, maybe in his 80s, veteran, former general, I think it is, whatever his rank was. And he's, you know, he's old, he's cranky, and... his son comes up to visit him in the old age home. The son is, you know, unlike his father. You know, doesn't have a job, doesn't have a whole lot going for him in the future. He's a big, right, disappointment to his, you know, father, who's like, hoorah, go get him. This is, you know, do this, do this, do this.
I like it.
And so you see that aspect of their relationship. You know, it's not that they hate one another. It's just that, like, you know, one seems to be a disappointment to the other and all that. And then, you know, of course, you see a lot of action where the Martians just zapping people and, you know, taking, like, great joy in it. And that's always fun.
Yeah.
And then you have these other funny interactions that Kyle's known for, just with, like, you know, little random bits of dialogue here and there. And, of course, by issue three, it gets heartfelt. You know, the father and son finally, like, come to a, like, I guess...
an understanding.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word. They finally come to an understanding. Hey, this is... yeah, I guess it's the end of the world. We might as well patch things up now, I guess. That type of thing. So, you know... I love how, yeah, Kyle just brings the funny, he brings, you know, the action, and he also adds, like, a real heartfelt element to his stories, so he's got it all.
Yeah, the third issue was great. The third issue really started pulling it all together for me.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, this really good story across all three, but then it's, like, you have the violence and the odd kind of stuff that the Martians are doing, but it's supposed to kind of be towards the background almost.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you're focusing on the story. And I really like the idea of that. So, yeah, the book's great.
It's great. Check it out.
Or else.
A big or else.
Yeah, we're contractually obligated to say that, too. Hi, Kyle. All right. Well, I think that's it for this podcast. I think we did it.
We did it.
Another one in the bag. Bagger up.
Whew.
We're trying to do this for you guys.
Talking's hard.
Talking is just miserable sometimes.
So appreciate it.
Yeah. I drove in the snow for this.
Is it actually still snowing? Or did it stop?
Very lightly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it seems manageable now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for checking us out. If you want us to watch your weird movie, let me know.
Well, us. Tim. You want Tim to watch your weird movie.
I'm putting it out there now. Anybody with a weird movie, specifically a weird movie, where you made it, you funded it, you love it, but you're like, God, no one will like this. I'm your Huckleberry. I will watch your movie.
I hope you get some fucked up shit.
I hope so too. If anybody sends me their weird movie, I will watch it and highlight it on a mini-sode. So there you go. It's free publicity to reach bunches of peoples. So please let me watch your horrible, horrible passion project. That's it. Good night, everybody. Bye, Max.
Bye, Max. Bye.